All right, welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment. Jamie here, rolling semi-solo. Charlie's still on vacation. But in the time between, because I'll be totally honest, I did not have a subscriber segment set up for today. In the time between recording the main show and now, my good friend Sean Jack sent me a message on Facebook, and I thought this would just be something perfect to talk about. So welcome, Sean. What's going on, man, first of all?
Thanks, Jamie. Really excited to be back on the show, especially as in the premiere segment.
Yeah, it's like pretty much when I don't know what else to do, I just kind of call you and go, hey, let's talk about disc golf, because we tend to have interesting conversations. And the one that you sent me today really is interesting. Browsing ESPN, and I get a message that, oh, did you see ESPN reposted the Philo Albatross, just kind of a little throwback post. And as I go on to their Facebook page, you have to scroll down 6 or 8 posts to find the Albatross post. Now, what are you scrolling past on ESPN today? Because that's what's important. Well, you're scrolling past news on the Bubba Wallace investigation, or the investigation of the noose found in his stall at the Talladega event. You've got stuff about the Dodgers. You've got Shaquille O'Neal, Ben Roethlisberger, Leo Messi, Jay-Z, a post about the MLB coming back. But none of those come even close to garnering the engagement on a post that says, in all caps, put this throw in the Disc Golf Hall of Fame via Central Coast Disc Golf. Got a nice tag in there. Good job, ESPN. As of right now, at the time we're recording, 15,000 comments, 23,000 shares. And, I mean, that engagement is through the roof.
And 54,000 likes.
54,000 likes. Now, Jay-Z over here, you got Jay-Z, Beyonce, LeBron James in like a 10-second clip. It's got 680 comments, 1,100 shares, and less than 10,000 reactions. So, have we made it yet, Sean? Have we made it?
Yeah, it's funny when disc golf media gets posted on like major sports networks like CBS or ESPN. One, we're crazy, right? We're insanely addicted. So every disc golfer wants to share it on their own personal wall, on their Facebook, on their club's Facebook page, and then you also will get people that like don't like us, that don't think we're a sport, and they'll post like, this isn't a real sport. So it's like, I love when people say that, because it's, hey, thanks for the publicity, and it'll start conversations. So just looking at this, I think it's remarkable that, you know, baseball is back is probably the biggest things to happen in sports since COVID started, and we outperformed that with one disc golf shot. Granted, it's probably the craziest shot ever captured on camera, right? And it's definitely the one that's been viewed the most historically. But to have 54,000 likes, and just the engagement is off the charts. I actually am in the midst of trying to close a really exciting new prospect for Disc Golf Pro Tour, and I sent them a screenshot of the engagement with a copy of the clip. Because it's hard when you're having conversations with potential partners to define, like, you don't understand, man, our audience is crazy. We really support everyone that supports disc golf. And this, I think, really, really will help sell that we're just nuts.
Certainly are. And sort of the genesis of the conversation that I wanted to have with you is, you've been pitching, like you said, and definitely I want to know, whenever you can tell us about what's going on at the Pro Tour, you got to let me know. But you've been selling and pitching companies from a whole lot of different industries for a handful of years at this point. And so I'm interested to kind of talk about how the conversation has changed over the years, from the days when you had to go disc golf and they go disco, frisbee
yeah,
golf.
Exactly.
You know, you got to sit and like explain it a little bit. Because look, I'm looking at the comments right here, and I want to read this one comment. I just randomly kind of expanded them. This guy writes, "I'm from the hood in New York," and then in parentheses, "as hood as hood could be, and was introduced by some cats that I knew in the Poconos to this game, and let me tell you, it's the best. Nothing like cooling with your boys, smoking an L, and throwing frisbees. And if you haven't tried it, don't knock it. It's dope. I was seriously missing out. Now, this is pretty much like the general sentiment, positivity, I mean, towards the sport. And like you're saying, it used to be kind of contentious in comments. It used to be like, I love this game. It's the best. It's better than the NBA. And then some people were like, you're an idiot. You're a hippie wearing a tie-dyed shirt. Shut up. But now, as I scroll through these comments, the conversation has changed. And I'm just wondering, like, how much have you seen on the inside when you're pitching other companies?
That's a great question. So I started with the Pro Tour before it launched in 2016. I was talking to Steve Dodge, and I work for a little website in San Francisco where I do partnerships and digital marketing. So it was a pretty good fit knowing that the tour was going to be, you know, on YouTube and also event activations and things like that. And yeah, at first, I remember going to Outdoor Retailer, which is the nation's largest like outdoor apparel and equipment show. At the time, it was in Salt Lake City. It's since moved to Denver. And having to tell people what disc golf is, right? It's, and most people know what frisbee golf is if you just go back and use the old term. And now, I'll give you a good example. In my opinion, you know, the Pro Tour kicked ass in the first couple events with the media, except for the booth guys. I have to say, they kind of screwed that up royally.
Fired.
Nate and Val were great. I don't know about the other guy.
Yeah.
And we did so well that a little company called Bushnell, who's obviously active in golf and hunting, reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we think our rangefinders could become a normalized product in your sport. And I kind of kicked myself in the ass saying, like, I'm mad that I never actually reached out to them, because I know, you know, my good friend Sean Mercy actually already uses one. As courses get bigger with par fours and fives, it's fairly helpful on approach shots. And it turns out they're actually going to make a disc golf-centric rangefinder that measures in feet. And that's rolling out probably August, September. And they dipped their toe in the water with a promotion with the Pro Tour where we had five pros measure their distance or accurately try to throw 1, 2, 3, 4, 500 feet. And like, it was a pretty seamless, easy close compared to having to define what the sport is. And this is a company that rolls up to something called Vista Outdoors. That's a $2 billion company. So very, very different than trying to get, you know, a company that's a six-figure or low seven-figure company. So that was very exciting. And then the other company that I pitched today, or I'm in the process, is a major online auto parts distributor. And,
wow,
you know, that's just weird, right? It's like everything we sell usually is what we call endemic to the sport, whether it's disc manufacturers, bag manufacturers, maybe apparel, beverages, like things that are actually using while you're playing. And we're finally seeing sponsors that just want to attract with our audience, which if you're looking for a male-heavy 25 to 45-year demo, I don't know many other sports that dominate that as much as we do. And that's a problem, right, in other ways. Like, we need to grow the sport for women and for in the youth and for older people. But for advertisers, that's, like, typically, historically been the sweet spot.
It also, you know, white as well. You know, as we've been talking about racial issues in this country, we know that, you know, if you're a person of color, you may be in a lower you're more likely to be in a lower socioeconomic bracket. So I think it is important to point out that, like, you're typically going after middle class average income. I think the 2019 PDGA demographics, the bell curve of average incomes reported by members is, I think, relatively close to what the national average is. So we're kind of like, can we use the term like plain white bread? Like, there's a lot of advertisers that, you know, we could talk about the social issues around that and how we need to change our culture to be more inclusive, which I 100% agree with and we've gotten into before.
Of course.
But when you talk about it from a marketing and advertising standpoint, you are talking about a large chunk of the American population. So is it that this demographic is getting into disc golf? Or is it, I mean, how I know it's kind of a circular thing, but how do you kind of break it down in your mind? Where is the entry point? Where's like the starting point that began to change and have these companies kind of like come in and say, hey, we're interested?
I mean, I guess this year where we saw, I'm having conversations with companies that are not specifically associated with it. It also helps that because the sport is growing and more people are playing, that we're getting what they call in sales inside champions that work inside the company, right? So for Bushnell specifically, one of the guys I think that's a product guy is a hardcore disc golfer because all disc golfers are hardcore. And it oftentimes takes someone to convince C-level marketing executives that we're not just this fringe sport anymore. So I would say maybe this year, and if COVID hadn't happened, which we can talk about how that's actually been an explosion in disc golf, and I think it's going to benefit us with more partners. When I started playing in 2008, everyone's like, disc golf is going to explode in the next 5 years. And then 5 years later, they said 5 years more. And I've heard that before. And I think maybe here we are, right? Advertisers outside the sports. You know, Jomez has a video on YouTube of last year's Worlds that got caught by the YouTube algorithm that has 2 million views. The number of courses is triple when I started at like 9 or 10,000 versus 3,000. I think Facebook tells me that 1 million people in the U.S. engage with disc golf. Like, these are big numbers now. Before, I used to actually be an advocate with people saying, why isn't disc golf bigger than it? It's like, why doesn't Nike get into disc golf? And it's like, dude, these advertisers will come to you when you're big enough, right? It's not, like, if you build it, they'll come. And it just takes a while, right? When you're growing, 15% growth is great. But it takes to have, and I was saying we were always missing zeros. I still think we are, as far as like live coverage is concerned, when you're having 10,000 people watch. That's kind of like a who cares number, unless you're in the sport with a niche target demo. But now that we have, you know, Jomez is routinely getting 100,000 views, sometimes upper 100,000s, and of course, you know, that one with 2 million. These are numbers you can take to advertisers and actually mean something.
So I was going to ask you about COVID, but first let me ask you this question. When you say we're missing zeros, even in the media, obviously you want as big of a number as possible. If I said you could have 1 million live concurrent this weekend at Dynamic Disc Open, you'd be like, great, I'm going to start emailing people. But like, what's the realistic number that you're going to be super excited and just like immediately rush to the computer and start firing stuff off if you see it?
On YouTube or DGN?
Remember, either way.
DGN is paywalled, right? So
right.
There's a barrier to entry a little bit.
Yeah, and that shows a little bit more of like a concrete engagement. If you're giving me money, it means more than if you just tuned in to watch for 5 minutes. So, but like, let's do the easy one first. If you saw a peak concurrent at what number, you're going to go, I have this person, that person, that person that need an email right now to let them know the window's open.
Well, I would say, DGN, obviously, I would love to see consistently 10,000 viewers, because that's a great number for someone that's endemic to the sport, that's inside the sport. Manufacturers, bag manufacturers, anyone making like ancillary products like whale sacks. I think that's a great number because it's 10,000 people watching that are specifically the target that you want, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about YouTube, especially with, I mean, Mr. Beast has what, 30 million subs in YouTube? And CBS Sports is in 60 million households. So he's like half the audience of CBS Sports. That's kind of crazy, right? And YouTube, I think, is by far the biggest reach of any source of media, right? So I think with YouTube, I like that Jomez and Central Coast are scraping 100,000. But I think if we could start getting, you know, 500,000 and, you know, God forbid, getting seven figures on a routine basis. And plus for those guys, that's when you start making real money, right? Depending on what your CPM rate is. I mean, 1 million views means you're making at least $1,000 per video at $1 CPM. It's more like 4 to 7. So it's more like $4,000 to $7,000 per video. I mean, that's good money. So I would say 10,000 concurrent on DGN would be great. I think we would have got there no problem if we didn't have COVID, because we already had like something 5,000 or 6,000 subs. And then with YouTube, I'd love to see more videos. I think there's only one or two. getting up to that million. But that takes it being shared like outside our little ecosystem.
Sure. I looked up Mr. Beast real quick, and the first thing I see is a video that's how I gained 15 million subscribers in 1 year. So, you know, yeah, hey, maybe we should all go watch that video. Yeah.
He's got really good content.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a loaded question. Obviously not.
In this very limited scope of our conversation.
I mean,
careful
like,
to say on podcasts these days. Like, is COVID good for marketing?
By all accounts, everyone I've talked to, disc golf has exploded. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are going to be. I think PDGA metrics will be skewed because of tournaments being shut down for a couple of months. And PDGA tends to be the best source of growth, like active members, number of tournaments, number of players playing tournaments. You know, in this little bubble of San Francisco, our course has been closed for 3 months. But by all accounts, most courses nationwide stayed open because disc golf is a great source of recreation while your softball league was canceled, while your bowling league was canceled, while your running club is suspended. You know, we can maintain social distancing, just like golf is way up in greens fees across the country. So in that way, I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, oh, you remember that time I played in college? Or same with golf, you know, my sticks are in the back of my garage and I haven't played in 3 years. So let's go play. So I think COVID is, I know certain retailers and certain manufacturers can't keep up with demand right now, especially as it releases starter packs. So I feel awful saying this because people are dying, right? And small businesses are shuttered forever. But I think it's kind of a happy accident for our sport that many people have discovered it because it's a great alternative to so many other recreational activities.
Yeah, maybe it's better if we say the shutdown, the economic shutdown has benefited disc golf in a very strange way rather than tie it to the
well,
virus.
Not just the economic shutdown. I think a lot of our people that play our sport are independent contractors and retail and restaurant workers, hospitality workers, and a lot of these people were laid off temporarily, and because of the CARES Act, they're getting $600 more per week plus probably 400, so they're making like $1,000 a week. And, you know, $50,000, depending on where you live, is a decent chunk of change. So I think not only did it get people playing all the time because they're not working, but they have more money than they've ever had of disposable income, which allows them to buy way too many Frisbees or upgrade to a Zuka cart or get the new grip bag. So it absolutely has helped.
Yeah, you get a pound bag, case of beer, and a bunch of Frisbees every week. I mean, obviously, you should spend it on all that.
Yes.
But
restart the economy, you should be saving
right?
it, putting in. Yes, yes.
It's so interesting because it was, frankly, shocking to me to have had so many people come through the show in recent months and just say, yeah, we can't keep up. Discs are flying off the shelves. People are just getting into the game. But then when I sat and thought about it, if you do look at how COVID is going to change, especially how work is done in this country. And I'm certain around the world, but I'm very certain
sure.
in the U.S. If work from home becomes more of a regular thing, why can't you slip out and get 9 holes in and get a bite to eat? And you could be gone an hour, hour and a half, and then you still can get all your work done. I mean, you can't tell me you don't have that time at your desk during the day that you wish you could be out there putting.
Or you're not commuting anymore. Right? Say you commute 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day, an hour a day. Now all of a sudden that can be towards something that you enjoy, recreation to be outside. I think it was like just a perfect storm. Like, I mean, I wish some manufacturer would peel back the curtain and let us know what their sales are. Because I know you and I have talked about this. Like, how big is the market cap of disc golf disc manufacturers? Is it like 15 million, 100 million, 200 million? I want to know. And I want to see like year over year sales. What were May sales 2020 versus 2019? And think about this too. The amount, like, tournaments disappeared for 2 months, right? And right. I don't know about, like, when I order for SFO or the Safari, I'm ordering between $2,000 and $8,000 worth of discs, and that went away temporarily. So even with all the tournaments disappearing for 1/6 of the year, they're still growing at an incredibly high rate.
Yeah, I think last year when I ran the Safari, the smallest order that I did was $2,000. That was the smallest manufacturer order, and we ordered
probably spent
three
like
different
almost
companies.
Five figures, right?
Close to it. I think it was about $8,000, $8,500 on discs. So you know that manufacturers are getting a huge chunk, like chunks and chunks of money at a time, from CFR orders in addition to their retail partners. So just like not having thousands of tournaments in a year, the fact that they can still say, hey, we're up on the year, hey, we're increasing our sales and increasing our yearly targets, that's pretty interesting. All right, I know you've got to get going here, but before we let you get out of here, I'm interested to know this. Given all the things we've just talked about, and this is obviously a rapid-fire discussion that we could go hours on, and you and I have gone hours on this before, who if you could just pick and you could guarantee that they're going to answer your email, who's the next target? Like, who should definitely be in disc golf that's not in yet based on everything we just talked about?
Just one company? You want one single company?
Or a couple of them, if you got a, do you have an idea?
Well, I mean, the lowest hanging fruit that I'm mad at myself that we haven't secured a craft beer sponsor for the tour. That is like, that should be a no-brainer. And there's a lot of breweries out there that are already sort of in disc golf, right? But just not more at the local level and not at the national level. Like Lagunitas is a sponsor of the USDDC. Sierra Nevada is a sponsor of the Memorial. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple beer sponsors at the SFO. But like, I want one of the elevated baskets on tour to be a Sierra Nevada pale ale can, right? I think that would look cool. I think it makes perfect sense for them. You know, the Safari has been sponsored by Anderson Valley Brewing Company for, what, 7 or 8 years ongoing? Yeah. So the fact that we don't actually have a beer sponsor is my fault, and I'm mad at myself about it, and I'm going to make that happen for next year.
How big can you go? Like, how big of a beer company are you going to – should you aim at? I mean, do you need to start smaller?
I'd like to aim at Sierra and down. So Sierra, I think, is the second biggest craft brewery behind Sam Adams, who's on an island in between – major brewery and craft, right? They're like,
right.
I don't know. They're all by themselves, and then it's Bud Coors, Miller. So I would love to get Sierra. I think as a brewery, they don't really make any mistakes. They make great beer. Maybe not the best boutique brewery for New England hazy IPAs, but you know, their pale ale to me is like, you know, the Budweiser of craft beer. So I'd love to get them. And I also just like them. I like their company. I like their brewery. I think they're a green company. Their brewery in Chico is awesome. I know they have one in Asheville, and I like their branding and everything. And I think it'd be a good blend, good partnership. And then another company I've been eyeing for 3 or 4 years is called Kuhl, K-U-H-L. They are an outdoor apparel company based out of Utah. And a lot of disc golfers already wear their stuff, whether they just happen to accidentally make really good disc golf pants and shirts, and we need a major apparel manufacturer, whether it's them or LL Bean, someone that's just associated with the outdoor space. And Kuhl would be the one I want to get the most, just because I'm an active fan. I wear their stuff almost all the time, and I just think it would be a really good fit. And you know, they've been in my sales funnel for like 3 or 4 years. But they just don't really do much event sponsorship, so it's been tough to, like, you know, just here's the thing, it drives me nuts, because I know if they raised their hand and said, we are the official apparel sponsor of disc golf, just like Grip Six did with their belts, then they would get ROI instantly. Because we love supporting companies that support us, right? Again, Grip Six does not make a belt that makes sense for disc golf specifically, right? It doesn't make you putt better or drive farther. They just said, we're the guy. And we said, okay, here's our money. Right. And I literally think that all it would take was some apparel company to say, you know, like Adidas sort of did with Terex, the shoes, right? And Keen sort of did with their shoes, but it was kind of like not all the way in. So any company that just, you know, makes dry fit, lightweight shirt and pants that are rugged and shorts that have cargo shorts, I think would instantly get ROI. And great recognition from our sport.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're probably wearing a Grip 6 belt right now. The main belt that I wear.
I'm wearing a Grip 6 belt, and I'm wearing cool pants and and they have a break at the knee, which allows you to bend over easier. They have a heavy cuff at the bottom, which doesn't get as dirty and just adds a bit more support. And they have a cell phone pocket in the right-hand side, which can fit a disc golf accessory, like a pen or your scorecard. It's like, ugh! I wish I could just communicate this to them and get to the in front of the right person to sell it.
Like, it's right here. Just come take it.
Yeah, and like versus these other, you know, Fortune 500 companies that support NASCAR like Pepsi and Budweiser, we're not asking for six-figure deals. We're asking for five-figure deals. So even though our reach is not as nearly as much as larger sports, we're asking a commensurately smaller amount of cash. So it's I think most companies that make sense would actually get better ROI of their spend versus just plastering, you know, a commercial where they can't actually track engagement.
That's such a crucial. I hate to leave that question, but that's such a crucial thing to talk about. All right, last thing here.
Well, I can come back.
Yeah, well, we definitely continue this, no doubt. When you go to these companies, has it been your experience? It sounds like yes, by the way you just answered that. But has it been your experience that most of these people are like, oh, that's all you need? Like, they come in expecting you to have these like pie in the sky $1 million schematics ready, and you're like, hey, give me 10 grand and I guarantee you it's the best 10 grand you spend on advertising this year kind of thing.
I don't think our, like, I'm looking at the Disc Golf Pro Tour sponsorship deck right now, and you know, we have prices as low as like 500. We go from like 500 to 50,000. So I've never had like sticker shock in either way, if that makes sense. But I also haven't been in front of like a $1 billion company yet. It's been, you know, $1 million companies.
Gotta get that B. Gotta get those three commas. Well, we'll definitely have you back.
Trace commas, yeah.
Yeah, the Trace Commas Club.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to get going. Right. But it was a pleasure to be on the show. I love it. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, buddy. On the way out, give me your winners this weekend. Who takes down Emporia?
I mean, I hate saying Paul, but Paul? I didn't bet him on fantasy because he's too many points at 1060 plus. And yeah. Then I'm going to say that Katrina Allen has spent time practice putting in the offseason and is going to take down and beat Paige this weekend.
You heard it here first. Sean Jack predicting.
Or at least I hope she has.
Yeah, for sure. But even when she didn't last year, she still managed to take down GBO. So Sean Jack predicting a repeat of the 2019 GBO out of Emporia this week. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time. Keep doing everything you're doing for the sport. We all appreciate it. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Jamie.
All right. Thank you guys for being subscribers. We appreciate, as always, that you tune in and you trust us to deliver some great disc golf content. Stay tuned next week. Charlie will be back. We'll see you here on The Upshot.